or the title, I should say, of today's message is Working Towards Reaching Our Potential Through Christ. So if you could, open up your Bibles. We're going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting with verse 4. So that's Luke, chapter 8, verse 4. And it has a little subtitle, it's the parable of the sower. So now when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and when it came up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And yet other seed fell on the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as much. As he said these things, he would call out, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now his disciples began asking him about what the parable meant, and he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest they are told in parables, so that while seeing they may not see, and while hearing they may not understand." Now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. So I'm going to pause there for a moment. So the sower in this story is sowing the word of God. And we are told that the word of God is Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the spreading of the seed in this parable is how we individually are receiving Christ into our hearts and his message, the gospel message. How are we taking it in? And we have different examples of how different people are taking it in through this parable. So if we go to verse 12, "And those beside the road are the ones who have heard it, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved." You ever notice sometimes when the gospel gets brought up to a non-believer, sometimes there's an immediate angst and almost anger towards it? And other times you may be trying to reach someone and you don't understand why the message is not getting through. Because maybe to you as a believer it's very clear and it's very apparent what the gospel message is trying to say. But other people block it out. And I think the answer to that, of why that happens, is in this parable. Because I believe all humanity is God's creation, and we have an inclination to God's message. When our hearts are open, it will reach us and it will make sense, because we're all programmed that way, to reach out and find God. But when we see people who are adverse to it, it's because, as it states in the parable, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. It does not get through. So even though we might be inclined as people to hear the message, Satan is working against it. And he is blocking it for some people. But don't be despair for the unbelievers, because we know that all things are possible through Christ. So while Satan may be taking away the message right now, we know God has already won the war. We know the message is correct. And we know that through perseverance, God will reach these people if they're willing to open their hearts. So going back to the Bible on verse 13. "Those on the rocky soil are the ones when they hear and receive the word with joy, and yet these do not have a firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they will fall away." So as all of us know, just because you become a believer, it does not make life easier for us. And it does not mean that we are not going to have trials. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 states, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and is broad leads to destruction. and there are many who enter through it. But for the gate that is narrow, the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So when something's constricted, it is not an easy path. It has to be forced through sometimes and pushed through. And that's what Jesus is saying about the perseverance that we need. I mean, if you know, many of the early church leaders were persecuted. Many of them were martyred. And when these challenges come, many are going to blame God and say, why is this happening to me? Or why did this have to go this way? Right? But we know that we need to build our house on a rock as opposed to the house that's built on a sand. In Matthew 7:26, it says, everyone who hears the word of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and its collapse was great. I think it is harder sometimes for people that believe and then fall away to come back to Christ. Because for them, they have to come to terms with the fact that they heard the message. They absorbed the message and then turned away. And that's why Jonathan, I know, always preaches about reaching the backsliders. Because it's hard for those people to come back. So let us pray for all the backsliders and that their roots will regrow and provide the foundation that they need to be fruitful in God. Verse 14 says, and the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked by the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life. And they bring no fruit to maturity. So I know many people may think, well, I'm not rich. Maybe this doesn't apply to me. There are no billionaires or millionaires in this congregation. At least if there were, that offering plate should be a little heavier. But I heard one say something one time where they said, if you were born in the United States at this time, you have already hit the lottery in life. We already have so much more than most people have ever had throughout the history of humanity. Right? Everyone's sleeping in a soft bed. Everyone has a roof over their heads. Everyone has food to eat, and we don't really worry from a day-to-day basis, how are we going to get that next meal? So compared to most of history, we are all rich. And not only that, there are probably more distractions today than ever before. I kid with my kids sometimes when I had to watch TV growing up, you had to watch whatever was on. Whatever was on that time. Like now they can watch whatever they want, whenever they want, at any time. So it's completely different. We have so much. But with so much are all things that can take us away and take our focus away from God. So in order to be fruitful and to be what God wants, we need to put God first in everything. Above family, above friends, above community. All those things are important and all those things we should take care of. But we need to put God first in everything. In verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word and with a good and virtuous heart and hold it firmly and produce fruit with perseverance. And one of the things I love about this verse is it lists the three things you had to overcome for the three previous examples that Christ gave. Right? It says, we start with the seed, which is the word of Jesus. And that seed is our purpose in Christ. The whole reason that there's the plant in this parable is for it to produce fruit. And that fruit is the fulfilling of God's design for us. When you think of what a seed is, right, it has the DNA of what that plant is going to become. So in all of us, Jesus has given us the DNA of what he wants us to become. So the question is, what do we do with that? And again, in that verse, he touches all three. Hear the word with a good and virtuous heart. Right? That's how you don't get trampled on the road, so Satan can't take it away. with perseverance. The sun does not burn it up because it had no root, because we had perseverance. And when the trials came, we were able to stand strong and hold it firmly. We're holding it firmly because it's the most important thing, and nothing else is important. So in that one verse, Jesus is telling the disciples and the people he was speaking to how to overcome this challenge. And one of the things that impacted me the most when I was putting the message together, and the one kind of thought that I kind of, you know, focused on, and I'd say if there's one thing in today's message that I'd like you to take away, it's this. There are no healthy plants in this parable that are not producing fruit. Right? If we are not producing fruit for God's kingdom, then we're one of the other plants. We're either withering away, we're being choked, or we don't have an open heart. So in God's kingdom, we all need to be producing fruit. Interesting enough, there's a parable in the Bible, or I shouldn't say a parable, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus runs into a plant that's not producing fruit. And if you want, you can turn with me. It's in Mark chapter 11. Verse 13 and 14. And it says, seeing from a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. And then if you jump down to verse 20, it says, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now the really interesting thing here that I found is that Jesus went to the fig tree expecting fruit, even though the fig tree wasn't in season. You would think it's not in season. Why should he expect there to be any fruit there? But I would think that because in God's design, he has a plan for all of us. And I think that plan for that fig tree was there was supposed to be fruit on it, whether in season or not, for Jesus to consume. And that plant did not live up to what it was designed for. And what did Jesus do to it? It withered from the root up. So we have to be open to what Jesus wants of us, open to his command, even if it's not something that may be in the normal course of things. He wants us to be obedient and to put him first in all things. Now, producing fruit doesn't mean everyone here is going to be an evangelist. Not everyone is going to have a gift like Billy Graham did for speaking in front of, you know, a stadium full of people and being able to convert thousands in those types of sermons. But we all have a part to do. And God gives all of us our distinct gifts. And we have to use those gifts for his glory. If you want to turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. And Paul is talking about this specifically. He's talking about the body, but the body he's talking about is the body of the church. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for the reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the parts of each of them in the body, just as he desired, if they were not all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer than the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body which we consider less honorable. On these we bestow great honor, and our less presentable parts become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable parts have no need for it. But God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. And if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. So we all have different gifts, and together we form the body of Christ. So I encourage you, as Jonathan mentioned earlier, to use those gifts that God has granted us. If you have a beautiful voice, use it to sing and worship to God. If you're good with your hands, build and repair things to honor God's house. If you have a compassionate heart, pray, participate in charity. Find what your gift is. I know Jonathan has a worksheet where you can work through and find out what your spiritual gifts are. So if you're not sure, seek it. Matthew 7 through 8 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened." If you honestly, earnestly seek for God to use you, He will answer it. He's not going to tell you no. He's got enough workers. Never going to happen. Right? The harvesters are few, right? So He wants people to contribute to His kingdom. Whatever you call to do, obey it. Obey God's will and start producing fruit. Because when we stand before the Lord, and all of us will at some point, we all want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a popular Christian pop song that me and my family listen to, and the title is called "What If?" And I just want to read the second verse as we close the message. And it says, "My biggest fear is waking up to find what matters is miles away from what I spent my life chasing after. Is my story going to have the same two words in every chapter? What if?" So as we leave this place today, as you go on throughout your week, let us think about what type of fruit we can start producing. Because as followers, we all need to do our part and follow God's will and have Him lead us in the direction that we were designed from birth to follow. Amen. I think we're going to close with a song, and then we'll do